Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Now, think with me for a minute. Imagine a world leaders gathering. The who is who in this world, in the political space, in the business space, in the science space, all gathered in a room, and the chief keynote giver that day, the one who's going to address them, is Jesus himself, the King of Kings. What would Jesus say? I can almost imagine Jesus coming up to the platform and all these leaders with their eyes fixed on him, knowing that he's done what they've never done. None of them has died and risen from the grave. Only Jesus has. I can almost picture all these cameras that are all around him, broadcasting all around the world, waiting for Jesus to say something to the world leaders. Here's what I believe Jesus would say. Kings and those with great authority in this world rule oppressively over their subjects. They do it like tyrants. But this is not your calling. You will lead by a completely different model. The greatest among you will live as the one who is called to serve others. Because the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. And I can almost picture Jesus standing to the cameras now and speaking into them straight to the rest of the world, saying, "For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone and to give his life in exchange for the salvation of many." That's Jesus' words, actually, from Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25 to 28. Today, as we carry on our series, Culture Transformation, I want to talk about a culture of serving. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to anoint your word. Bless everyone that hears it. May it transform us truly from the inside out, and make us the kind of people that you want us to be, a people that will serve others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When I think about leadership today in our world as well, whether it's political, business, corporate leadership, even in the religious circles, in the church, leadership is so much about power. It's about position. It's about prestige or popularity. And for some, leadership is a means to gain prosperity or privileges. But when it comes to God's kingdom, leadership is about serving. It's the opposite. And so leaders use their power and position not just to rule, but to serve others. Leadership in God's kingdom isn't about just the prestige that comes with it. So it's not about titles or how many qualifications I have. Those things are important. The prestigious position for leadership is a servant position, like Jesus said. Leadership so much rolls around popularity. Who is the most famous? It's a celebrity mindset these days. Leaders want to be known by all. But Jesus says, it's not about being known by all. It's about giving your life for all while serving them. It's about building a culture of serving. For many, leadership is a means to gain wealth. But Jesus says, no, leadership is a means to serve people. For what does it profit a man if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? Some people are attracted to leadership because of the privileges and the perks that come with it. But my friends, the greatest privilege of being a leader is this, that you have been granted an opportunity to serve people by being their leader. So the culture of leadership around us isn't a culture of serving, but we must change it. This is also true in community, by the way. Somehow this culture of serving one another is dying even in community, everyday life. Have you ever gone shopping and entered the shop and found the shop attendant completely ignoring you? They don't care if you're even present. They carry on their phone, or if they're eating something, they'll continue to eat. You don't seem to matter, and yet you were there to give them business. Been to a restaurant where you've sat for minutes waiting for someone to just come and attend to you. Because this culture of serving is beginning to get out of community. But I know you've also been to places where you have experienced great service. You always want to go back. Because we all love to be served well, but we all need to learn to serve others. And that's why I'm talking about a culture of serving today. Jesus taught his disciples about serving. He demonstrated what serving should be like. And today, out of Jesus' teachings, I want to give us three things that are needed for us in order to develop a culture of serving. And I'm going to pick it from the story in John chapter 13, where Jesus demonstrated what it means to serve by washing his disciples' feet. And so let's read together John chapter 13 from verses 1. Here's what it says. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. There's the first thing. In order for us to develop a culture of serving, we need to have, number one, a heart of love. A heart of love. A heart of love is the very heart of serving. Without love, we cannot serve people genuinely. And I think of developing a heart of love in three ways. One, it is developing a heart of loving God. We serve because we love God very much. We look at the example he's given to us, and we also serve others. But secondly, our heart of love should be a heart for people, loving people. When we love people, we serve them. By the way, when I talk about loving people and serving them, I don't mean you become a yes person. No, that's not what I'm saying. I simply mean you get out of your way to serve them. But also we serve because we love what we do. We are in a political season here in Uganda, and it's also a political season in other parts of the world, and many people are aspiring to become leaders. The question I would ask those people who want to be leaders or those who are in leadership is, do you truly, genuinely have a heart of love for the people? Our motto here in Uganda is for God and my country. Sometimes in vying for leadership, we forget this motto, and it's a beautiful motto. I don't know who came up with this motto, but it simply means, hey, if you want to lead in any way, you need to have a love for God, you need to have a love for the country, but also you need to have a love for what you do, serving people. The culture of serving people comes out of a heart of love. In the community, do we serve the people around us out of a heart of love? Whether it's at work, at home, in your neighborhoods, we encourage our small groups to go out and serve the community by meeting needs. Not just out of duty, out of love for our communities. It's a big shame these days when there's an accident somewhere and maybe it's a goods vehicle that has gotten into an accident, or a commuter vehicle gets into an accident. It's a shame to speak, especially here in Uganda, that people do not rush to help. Some people rush to the scene to take from those that have been hurt, or to steal the goods from the car that has had an accident. That must stop. That's not a culture of serving. That's not a culture of loving people. I know what I'm talking about because I have been involved in an accident. One time I was driving to one of our children's villages. It was raining heavy. And somehow I didn't see the pothole in the road, and it was just water all flowing in the road, and hit the pothole and tried to brake, and I couldn't. And the car skidded and hit on the side of the bump, and the car rolled and it overturned. Thank God I had my seatbelt on. And so in the car, I am upside down, get off and basically sit on the roof of the car, and people come running in the rain. Some who were riding bikes came very fast in the rain. And I don't think they had come to help me. Because I know some of them said, oh, he's alive. They felt disappointed that they couldn't plunder from me. That's not a heart of love. We gotta change this. We need to develop a culture of serving by having a heart of love for people. Serving without love simply becomes performance. And love without serving is hypocritical. You may serve without love, but it won't last. But you cannot love without serving. So the culture of serving is developed by having, number one, a heart of love. Let's continue reading from our scripture. Verse 2, about that particular event when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Let me pause there. Verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. The second thing we need, if we are going to develop a culture of serving, is we need a secure identity. Many people struggle with the idea of serving because they have this feeling or this fear that it lowers their status. But the root of that fear or feeling is actually insecurity. They have thoughts like, what will people think of me when they see me doing this? They may think I am weak. Or will my act of service be accepted? That's all insecurity. It is very, very, very hard for people who are insecure to serve others. People who are insecure in their identity never have the confidence to genuinely serve. And if they do serve out of inferiority, they will just do it out of duty, and it becomes very exhausting. It's not a joy because they're simply doing it to protect themselves or to get something from somebody. They want to protect their jobs, or they're trying to just please people. That's very exhausting. In order to develop a culture of serving, we need to have a secure identity. Jesus had a very secure identity. He knew where he was from. He knew where he was going. And that enabled him to serve anybody, anytime, anywhere. Jesus served the poor. He served the unwanted in community. He served children. He served the elderly. He served the rich and powerful. And even he served Judas Iscariot, who was his betrayer. Why? Because he was secure in his identity. People who are secure are the ones who can serve genuinely. Are you secure in your identity? You see, insecurity comes from misplaced identity. If we have our identity in things like the position we hold, the career we have, how much money we've got, the title we have, or how popular we are, those things are temporary. And that's why we become insecure, because they can be gone in one moment. The only true and unshakable, eternal and reliable source of identity is from God, and it is found in Jesus Christ only. That's the most secure place to be. So I may lose my position at work, but I will never lose my position as a child of God. I may lose my wealth, but I will never lose the connection with God the Father, who can supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. When you know these things, you are absolutely secure and you will serve no matter what. I may lose my popularity or even have no popularity here on earth, but that doesn't matter. God knows my name. In fact, it's written on the palm of his hands. That's where my security comes from. That's where my identity comes from. So secure people are the only ones who are willing to serve anybody regardless of who they are. And these kinds of people will make the world a better place, no matter who gets the credit. So to develop a culture of serving, we need to have a heart of love. But secondly, we need to have a secure identity. I heard of a story of a politician. I think he must have been from the Solomon Islands. He was a prime minister. And one moment he was in a parliamentary sitting and he was given a vote of no confidence. So he was prime minister one moment and just one vote above got him off the seat. And so that day he called up his family and said he wanted to have family dinner with them and tell them something important. He rushed home. And while at the dinner table with his wife and children, he said to them, "Family, children, I want you to know that your daddy is no longer the prime minister." And he was broken-hearted. But one of his sons stood up off the dining table, came to his dad, embraced dad, and said, "Don't worry, Dad. We are so happy to have our father back home." That son reassured his dad that the most important thing about his dad wasn't about being a prime minister, but was about being a father at home. That dad was getting his security from what he did in the public. The son was reminding him that there's a better security you can have in being who you are. You are daddy at home, and we celebrate you. Don't put your security in things that are fleeting. Titles, popularity, money. No. Let your security be in Christ. Then you will be secure enough to serve others. Let's continue reading from verse 5. Continues to say, after Jesus had picked the towel, after that, he poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And then he came to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." Simon Peter couldn't allow. But Jesus replied and said, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Simon Peter said, "you shall never wash my feet," because he couldn't handle seeing that. But Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, he was trying to make it difficult, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet." I hope Simon Peter had had a bath. "Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. And verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place, and then he said, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Please understand the context here. The practice of washing feet in those days was for the lowest of lowest in a household. It was the lowliest form of servitude that was performed only by slaves in bondage. Not just any, slaves in bondage. If you were visiting somebody, they always used to have a basin outside so you could wash your feet because they used to wear sandals. But for the well-to-do families, they had servants who did that for their guests. And amongst the servants, it was the one who was the lowest who did that. So when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he was not only teaching them something, he was demonstrating what actually serving entails. And that's the third thing. In order to have a culture of serving, we need humility. Humility is not a very popular word these days, but humility is such a powerful thing. We need to get off our high horses and begin to serve others in humility. In Philippians 2, Paul talks about the mindset that Jesus has. We need to embrace this. Jesus knew he was in very nature God himself, but he never considered himself equal. That's what Paul said. He took the very nature of a servant. He became human. He humbled himself. He became nothing, Paul said, and he was even obedient to death on the cross. And because he did that, God exalted him and gave him a name that's above every other name. The very thing we want to be exalted is found in humility. It's not found in pride. Humility comes from a recognition and an acknowledgement of this truth. I am who I am because of the grace of God. I've been able to do what I've done because of the grace of God. I am where I am today, not because I'm great, but because God is great. And his grace is upon me. When you acknowledge that truth, humility begins in your life. Freely we've received, freely we need to give and serve others in a place of humility. Proud people will never serve others. In fact, they want others to serve them. They think humility is a sign of weakness, but actually humility is a strength. All of us have a certain level of pride in us. We're born with a certain selfish nature, and so we carry a certain level of pride. When it comes to humility, it's a choice each of us needs to make, and it's a courageous choice to be humble and serve others. And if we don't and stick to pride, get ready for a downfall. Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride and sense of self-importance will bring him down. But he who has a humble spirit will obtain honor." You want to be honored? Be humble. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, "God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble." God resists the proud. So in order to serve, we need to have humility. Finally, Jesus said, verse 15, "I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Now that you know, in order to develop a culture of serving, we need, number one, a heart of love. Number two, a secure identity. And number three, humility. If we practice these things as we serve others, Jesus says, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. As I close, I want to challenge you. Practice serving this week and watch things change. If you're in a